welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. Join us each week as we delve into some of life's most complex questions. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on hazyradio.com. Welcome. So, Karen.
Rick.
Back for another week, eh?
I know. I suppose that I should pay attention to the radio show and stop playing this addictive game on my iPhone that my son just got me playing.
What's
earlier
the game?
Today. It's called, like, Flow. And it's just, it's just connecting dots, but, you know, I was good at it when I was a kid, and apparently I am as an adult, too, so.
Exactly.
There you go. Phone put aside.
Stop playing with the phone. I know it's hard to put that kind of stuff down. It's like, but I'm really lucky with my phone when I'm at work, because I've got basically all night long to just, you know, futz around on it. And, you know, of course, you know, my kind of job lends itself to doing that kind of thing.
Oh, well, get this game Flow. You'll like it.
Low.
It's very relaxing.
Okay. All right. I'll try that. Yeah. My addiction for my phone is Stupid Zombies too. I could play that game all night long. I love it. It's you killing zombies. It's a great game.
Have you discovered Mr. Oops?
No, I haven't.
Mr. Oops is this stick figure, and it shoots cannonballs and rolling rocks, and I think like missiles and stuff. And you have to move him out of the way. So okay. That he doesn't get hit by these things, and if he does, you kill a stick figure. It's really entertaining. It stresses me out. So
okay,
it's very stressful. Mr. Oops, that's right.
So on this week's show, we have a really good show lined up for everybody. We're going to have Chelsea DeMalle. Now, Chelsea DeMalle is one of the cast members of the Bio and A&E channels Haunted Entertainment Face to Face. She's also a psychic medium, so we're going to be catching up with her tonight, see what's going on in the show, and you know what's going on and with everything that Chelsea does according to the paranormal. So it should be a decent show tonight, right, Karen?
Of course. It's always a decent show, Rick.
It's always a good show. Sorry, that's like that Northwestern. Yeah, it's pretty decent. You know. Yeah.
No, it's always a good show. Every once in a while, I you know, move away from my computer at 8 p.m. Pacific.
Right.
11 p.m. Eastern and other times in the flyover states and think, dang, that sucked. But for the most part, I think we do pretty well.
We do pretty well. I think we do all right.
Yeah.
So what's new? What's going on?
Oh my gosh, let me see. Not a darn thing. Aren't I exciting?
You are. You're very exciting. But, I'm sorry. I meant, Haunted Encounters Face to Face. I apologize for that. I called it Haunted Entertainment.
Oh no, that's something else entirely.
Well, sorry about that, folks. Thank you to Cheryl for correcting me.
Great. Now I'm going to have to, at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states, I'm going to have to get off and think, oh, crap.
I'm so embarrassed.
That was so bad. Thanks, Rick. I'll be laying awake tonight, staring at the ceiling, going, Rick.
You're welcome. So this week, I took a little bit of the money that I got for my birthday last week, and I bought myself some new equipment.
Yeah? What'd you buy?
And well, yesterday I got it. I got it from Amazon, so of course, you know, you get things kind of dirt cheap on there. So yesterday I got the first thing in the mail, and it is one of those laser grid pointers.
Oh, I saw a picture of Theo playing with it.
He absolutely loves it. I mean, he actually
so
ripped it out.
So does my cat, Rick.
Oh, yeah. He ripped it out of my hand today, and he's like, Theo, go in closet with lighter. It's like, okay, cool. So he goes in there and he's just having a good old time, and I could see you know, like little dots of light shooting out from around the closet door, and he was having a great time with it.
Those things, I will tell you though, that if you overplay with them, the lasers wear out. I know, because my first set of laser grids immediately went upstairs to Tanner's room, where I started hearing psychedelic music, and he and his friends up there giggling. They were making laser shows on the ceiling. And those wore out really fast. So I think I'm on like my third set of them now.
Okay. Yeah, it's really cool. I really like it. you know, I'm going to, one of these days, I'm going to come down here in the basement and see if I can catch Paul walking around, because I have seen him before, so.
Yeah.
You know, see if I can catch him in the laser.
Good idea. So what else did you order?
I have a new electromagnetic field detector coming, and also I have a digital thermometer coming as well. Hopefully I'll be getting that in a couple of days in some new comic books, but I'm getting all this stuff because thank you. You say like a bad thing. I'm getting ready to go, you know, to Willow Creek Farms with Chuck Gotsky and his boys at Chuck and the boys from In the Dark Investigations up to Willow Creek Farm. So, and my buddy Skater Die Kevin, the action figure, is going to be coming along, and it's going to be it's going to be his first investigation. And you know, the guy used to be Kevin used to be a professional skateboarder. He used to skate with guys like Kareem Campbell and Tony Hawk, and he says that he is a man without fear. We're about to find out whether or not that's it.
I had a Marine sniper tell me that one time, and he pretty much spent the entire time crying like a girl. So, you know, you just never know.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah. I mean, when you grow up with this kind of stuff, it's like, nah, I'm really not impressed because I've seen better, and I've seen better than that, too. And it's like, no, you're not scaring me, so.
So, yeah. So, the best. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey.
Hey, so can I? My goal is to have Cheryl talk on the radio every week because she hates hearing her voice.
We love hearing your voice.
So for years, for all the years that Cheryl and I have done this together, I've always made sure she's talked. I don't think we've ever had one go where she hasn't talked, and that's a beautiful thing. So anyway, can I spoiler a little bit on the gear guide? One of my favorite new.
Yes. Yeah, I think that would be cool. Do that.
So I'm gonna give you two things that I have listed in the gear guide that I think are just really neat things. One of them is actually you can get at Ghost Stop, and it's called the Spirit Touch. And all it is a little box that is affected by nothing except for touch. It's got a little yellow dot on it, and if something touches it, a light goes on, and if something touches it, the light goes off. Hmm. It doesn't measure EMF. It doesn't, nothing affects it. So it's not like a cell phone's going to make it jump and make the light go on or off. Mm-hmm. Something has to physically touch that yellow dot. And so we've been using that, and we've had some success with it, including getting it to answer yes or no questions with a light going on and off. And the first couple times we tried it, we didn't have a lot of luck. And then a couple investigations ago, it started just going, and it's been great ever since. So that's one of the things, Rick, I would really, if you've got a little spare money sitting around, that's one that I would suggest getting, because nothing else affects it.
Well, how much is it?
It's like $70.
Okay, yeah. So I'll take that out of my back pocket right now.
It's like those little flashlights, you know, how people use flashlights or things like that. But those are all iffy. There is nothing ambiguous about this. If you touch the yellow circle, the light goes on. If you touch the yellow circle, the light goes off. So I really like that for its lack of ambiguity. For somebody as technically stupid as me, it's a beautiful thing. You can set it with a camera on it. The other one that I really like is actually not a piece of paranormal equipment.
Okay.
I may have mentioned this on the show before, the Firefly in a jar.
Okay.
Have I mentioned it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have.
Yeah. And that's the other one that's really, really cool, because you turn on the thing on the top, and basically somebody has to hit the top of the thing, and the Firefly flutters around with a light, so it's great in front of a camera. So those are two things that we're using that we're having some success. Now, the Firefly in the jar is a little more ambiguous because, you know, maybe somebody bumped the table or something. Right. But if you set it in a room with a camera on it and nobody else is in that room and the Firefly starts flying around. Oh, Elaine, as a matter of fact, I know we talked about it because Elaine like emailed me and said she went out and bought one while we were talking. So last week. So those are two things that I'm really liking because they have a very simple visual interface. And for people like me who are really bad at technology, I need something that's a definite yes or a definite no.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what I think would be great too in the gear guide is, you know, a little old school. You know, going back to the days before we had all of this nifty stuff with lights and buzzers and all that. You know, like some of the old stuff we have to use. The candle and the cyclone lamp, strips of string or whatever hanging down from the ceiling, or, you know, putting some...
Cheryl, maybe you need somebody to write you an old school article.
I think that would be a great article.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rick.
I mean, I still use these things, and it's like, it may not be offering all the objective proof that we're supposed to be giving out, but you know what? At least it shows something not only to you, but the person that you're there to help with. It's like, hey, there's nobody else walking around in this room with bare feet, but I see bare feet walking across this this baby powder here, or
yeah.
All the windows are completely closed and everything is sealed up, but man, these strips of rope or whatever are waving in the breeze. There's got to be something there making it happen.
See, that's perfect. That kind of stuff is also really, really budget friendly. And people think that they need to spend a lot of money and go out and buy. And I know when I did my top 20 list for the gear guide, some of it was pretty expensive because there are people who've got a lot of money to drop. I'm not one of those people.
Neither am I.
But some of it is really, really inexpensive too. And mm-hmm. What you're talking about is, you know, stuff you've got laying around the house.
Right. Yeah. With the stuff that I just ordered from Amazon, everything cost me $30.47. That's plus the overly expensive shipping and handling. So I get a pretty good deal on what I'm getting.
Cool.
Very cool.
Very groovy. So it's a break time, I notice.
Yes.
So stick around. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking. Oh, shoot. I forgot the name of the show again, Cheryl. I'm so sorry.
Haunted Encounters Face to Face.
Haunted Encounters. Because there's Haunted Encounters and there's Ghostly Encounters.
Yes. It's confusing.
It's a Canadian television show.
But it's like the storage shows right now. There's like Storage Wars. There's Storage Hunters.
Yeah.
There's Auction Hunters and there's Auction Wars. And I think there might be Storage Auction Hunter Wars. I'm not sure. I mean, you know.
Right.
There's, if one thing is good, by God, every possible variation is better. So anyway, come on back. We'll be talking about Haunted Encounters. Stick around. It's Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We'll be right back with our guest. Hey, this is Karen Frazier, writer and radio host with Paranormal Underground. Since I wrote my book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington in 2010, people have asked me what happened next. In my new book, Dancing with the Afterlife, a paranormal memoir, my Wellington story continues. Dancing with the Afterlife is more than the continuation of the Wellington story, however. It's also the story of a lifetime of afterlife research and paranormal encounters. What I've learned has changed my life, and it might change yours as well. To learn more about Dancing with the Afterlife or to read an excerpt from the book, visit dancingwiththeafterlife.com. Thank you.
Hi, this is Cheryl Knight, editor for Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Chad Wilson, Paranormal Underground Magazine's publisher. Every month, Paranormal Underground Magazine explores the unexplained by examining topics that range from haunted sites to ufology to cryptozoology. We also spotlight investigators and researchers who continue to pave the way in a field that seeks to answer some of life's most complex questions.
If you want to read about topics like psychic phenomena, demonology, conspiracy theories, crystals and herbology, and much, much more, visit ParanormalUnderground.net and start exploring the unexplained today. Visit us today at ParanormalUnderground.net and get a 12-month digital subscription for 15% off the cover price.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at Paranormal UG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
It's Karen Frazier. I'm here with my co-host of Paranormal Underground Radio, Rick Hale.
Hi, everyone.
We invite you to join Paranormal Underground Radio on the HeyZ Radio Network to explore the unexplained every Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific and other times in the flyover states.
Each week, we talk with investigators in the field, researchers, authors, and experts about topics that include paranormal investigation, ufology, cryptozoology, and spirituality.
So, please join us each Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern for Paranormal Talk with great guests right here on HeyZRadioNetwork.com.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual-compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line.
There are a million places you'd never consider texting, so why would you do it while driving? NASCAR driver Casey Kane here, asking you to please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at StopTextStopWrecks.org.
This is Hazy, and you're listening to the Hazy Radio Network.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Hazy Radio Network, its affiliates, or sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at hazyradio.com. Joining us tonight is going to be psychic medium as well as cast member of Bio A&D Channel's Haunted Encounters Face to Face, Chelsea DeMolly. Chelsea, welcome to the Underground.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, I'm happy to be here.
Great. We're happy to have you. Now, you bill yourself as being a psychic medium, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when did you first notice that you had these abilities, and when was your, the first time that you were like, oh, hey, there's dead people walking around me?
Well, actually, for me, it's been kind of a lifelong thing, so it wasn't ever that I just, woke up one day and said, well, I see dead people and nobody else does.
Sure.
But it's something, well, let's put it this way. My very first most memorable experience, and I know I've said this on other shows, and I think it's on the bio side as well, was when I was 5, and that was with my family on a family vacation to Egypt, and it was in a pyramid. So
oh.
That's, when you take a little baby medium someplace like that, it's pretty memorable.
Right.
It's been a lifelong thing, and it's just been kind of getting used to the idea by age 8 that other people couldn't do or hear or see the things that I could, that was the bigger problem. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, learning to temper that, because it tends to make people a little uncomfortable, doesn't it, when you're
it does,
a kid?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. it made school interesting. So I kind of went into the psychic closet, if you will, for quite a while, actually, until probably, you know, I mean, I've been doing it, reading for people, reading for law enforcement and that type of thing, since I was, 17, 18 years old professionally. But I've been doing it under different names because I grew up in a very, very, very religious community. Sure. And as well as, you know, just the stuff from just being a psychic, being a sure. kid was plenty. So, sure. Yeah, it's been crazy, and I've been in the psychic closet pretty much until last year or so.
You know, Chelsea, I've got to say, I wish that what you were telling me was horribly unusual, but so many people I know who have these abilities feel exactly the same way, that they can't be who they are.
Well, exactly. What you can say over the last 10 years, though, I mean, people have been made to feel that way.
It's been more than 10 years, though, because, I mean, even as a kid, you learn to keep that stuff to yourself.
Well, you know, what made it even worse for me is that I'm a very strong empath, which kind of links up with telepathy in a very strange way. It's not that you can necessarily hear people's thoughts, but you can definitely feel the emotion that's coming off of people's thoughts. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, with that being said, anybody who knew anything about me and had any sort of negative feelings, thoughts, or anything else, they might as well have just said it, honestly.
Right.
Because it was worse that they weren't saying it. It was like, for an empath to go through that, it's like there's an elephant in the room all the time that nobody's talking about.
Sure.
So, yeah, it can get crazy. So.
But how do you turn that off? If you don't want to listen to people, how do you just say, I'm not doing it? Is there some kind of guard that you throw up?
Yeah, I go home.
That's the best guard.
I go home and I shut the door. And, home is my safe place. Christmas shopping and things like that, not fun for empaths.
Like sporting events. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Agreed completely. Going to a football game, not even, no. Yeah, that was, I learned really quick, no. That's not for me.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. I live on a hill, in a house, away from other houses.
For a reason, right?
For a reason. Mm-hmm. That's right. And when I was a teenager and I lived, you know, in dorms in college and apartment buildings as a young adult, oh my God. I thought it was nuts. So I understand exactly what you're saying. But I haven't seen the show because they don't have it on demand on Comcast.
They don't anymore, huh?
No, but
no, we never had it on ours.
I watched as many clips as I could get off of your website. And I would say that although not a lot of the clips on the bio website feature you for some reason, what I did see is that you use it to your advantage when you investigate.
Definitely, yeah. And see, here's the thing. With those episodes, I don't know what type of reader you are. You're clearly a reader. I mean, that's coming through, obviously. But I did remote viewings of our locations and did them blindly, and they were tremendously huge, very detailed remote viewings.
Yes, I saw that on your blog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you went to my blog.
That's, yeah, I read it as well, yes.
Oh, great. That's cool. Thank you. I'm trying to post those readings up there because they really didn't showcase much of what I do, per se. But before going into an investigation, pretty much everybody, cast, crew, everybody, gets my readings ahead of time before any of the research really begins on the location.
Oh, okay.
So my part's first, and that's to kind of allow for, to keep the integrity of it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Completely blind. So we do it that way. And then when we go on location, I can kind of walk through and point out where I've seen things and how things have gone down and even get more information, of course, just with a walkthrough and that type of thing. But I try and like you said, it definitely works to their advantage. I try and point them in the directions that are the most active. I don't know if you saw the Cecil Hotel down there in the basement when the dog was when Captain was alerting yes. the mattresses. I pointed yes, them yes. that direction and said, no, I saw movement over there, you know, that type of thing. So I can do that.
Okay.
But for the most part, you know, my readings consist of layers and layers of history where I'm going through, you know,
right.
sometimes decade by decade. Big, sure. huge super haunts are extremely hard to do because they're just absolutely enormous.
Sure.
But yeah, so that's kind of how that
well,
works.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about the Cecil Hotel, so I'm glad that you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, like I say, I read your blog, and uh-huh. The Cecil Hotel is clearly a very historic haunt, and it's had some really scary characters in there.
Yes, it has.
And it also has some rather some recent mystery surrounding it as well.
Right.
So right. I was hoping that you would talk a little about that for our listeners.
Okay.
All of
sure.
it, the history and the recent.
The history? Okay. Well, the history is, you know, this is a 14-story hotel in the heart of L.A., in Skid Row of L.A., that has housed some of the craziest energy ever. We're talking addiction, rape, everything, just because of, not necessarily because of the area of town, but yeah, I'm sure that contributed to it. Mm-hmm. It's had over 1,000 deaths. There's been at least one death in every single room. Of that hotel, and many, many, many off the roof as well. It housed two serial killers that are known, and I'm going to go ahead and emphasize that are known. Because
right.
there's been way, not way more, but there's been a couple more that have been at the Cecil and resided there.
That so you picked one, up on.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
okay.
definitely. There's one there now. So, I mean.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I've dealt with a pedophile on an investigation before, but never a serial killer.
Yeah.
Wait, so there are you saying there's a living serial killer there now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's not active right now. So, I mean, that's not saying that he hasn't been and not saying that he won't be. He's not active. He's not actively stalking right now.
Well, that's comforting.
Yeah.
Not really. No, no, it's not. But so the two serial killers that we know of are Jack Unterweger, who was, I don't even remember right off the top of my head how many people he killed, but he killed in two different locations. In Europe, he killed a number of women and then came over to America and killed a number of women as well. He killed them in the Cecil Hotel in his room, and he targeted basically hookers, prostitutes, and he would get them to climb the outside the fire escapes up the side of the building. He would like offer $30 and they were just, you know,
oh my gosh,
and they would climb up there and would never leave. And that room that you saw me have the reaction in,
you did, you had a very strong reaction in that room. Yeah
And it would have been nice if Bio would have told me that they were going to show me crying on TV, but that was crazy. That was, and since that room, since I walked into that room, the Cecil's kind of become like a pet project, a baby of mine. So,
yeah.
But the other serial killer that is known that was there is Richard Ramirez, and he's still alive. Oh. So he's actually in California in prison.
Did I see that you've actually interviewed him?
Yeah, we've gone back and forth, not face-to-face, but the actual face-to-face interview that's going to be filmed is this upcoming month. So we've gone back, wow. you know.
How do you feel about that?
You know, for me, I've just going to all the many super haunts that I've been to, and because of the clairvoyance and that type of thing, there are a lot of things that I've already relived anyway.
Sure.
To me, serial killers are a conundrum. They are, how do I put this? Very strange in the sense that I can't feel them. There is no feeling.
They don't have, so that's like because they don't have emotions.
Right, they don't have emotion. They're completely mm-hmm. sociopathic. Right. I can't feel them. And to me, usually feelings come through with motives. So they're linked when I'm working a case. It's a little bit different. I'm kind of looking at him like he's a puzzle. It's not really that I'm intrigued. You know, I mean, there's been women throwing themselves at Richard Ramirez since he's been, you know, since he was caught. He got married when he was in prison. It was crazy. He has a fan club. It's gross.
Yeah.
And wrong.
I think that's
not
fairly typical for serial killers.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. But, yeah, he's a puzzle. And so I kind of study them. And I have a book coming out on the Cecil specifically talking about Richard Ramirez and Jack Unterweger and what they've done, and interviewing the police and the friends of the family and family members. And you know, if I could interview Jack, I probably would, but he, you know, killed himself. So.
Right.
And then I've got another, you know, I'm kind of signed for a series of these books where I'm just going to be looking at serial killers specifically.
Wow. So. That's fascinating. Good luck to you on that. So the other thing that's going on at the Cecil Hotel right now is that there was a very strange disappearance very recently of a, of a young Canadian gal.
Right. Right. Her name's, Elisa Lamb. Yeah. And she disappeared. Nobody knew where she was. You know, the last footage they had of her was in this elevator. And quite honestly, I'm going to be really honest here, I don't really know that much about the case, about what they know, because right. I haven't watched the news. So what all the information I have on that is obtained from that video footage, specifically in the elevator.
That elevator video footage is really strange, and you read a lot from that.
Yeah.
I'm going to link to that in the chat room for people as well.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange. Anyway, they found her later.
Right.
After this mysterious, weird behavior that was going on with her, which I try and explain. And she was actually in a water tank that was on the rooftop. It was about 20 feet from where me and the cast were standing originally. It kind of creeps me out.
She was in a water tank on the locked rooftop of the Cecil Hotel, correct?
Correct, correct. Nobody is allowed access up there and hasn't been for like over a decade, simply because so many people commit suicide up there. And it's not necessarily that they throw themselves off the roof. It's very, very strange what people do up there. I mean, they found people in nooks and crannies. They found people, you know, why they would come up and do what they did up there instead of throwing themselves off, which is normally what you'd think somebody would do if they're going to a rooftop to commit suicide. Am I wrong?
No, that's what I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's crazy, crazy things.
So what is your read of from looking at that video that I've linked in the chat room now, the elevator video? What is your read of what was going on with her? Did it have to do with the hotel?
You know, that hotel is incredibly active with evil and with residual and with, you know, intelligent presence that have died there. I mean, there's a number of things that could have happened, but what I believe happened to her specifically, she went in and she was fine for 3 days. I clearly see 3 days where it was okay. I mean, she was going and shopping and coming back and doing everything that you do in LA, and she was okay. And then day three kind of hit, and she started to have nightmares. And then these nightmares started to bleed into daily life. You know, her waking hours, where she was seeing things in her waking hours that she had seen in her nightmares. And it wasn't necessarily, you know, out of the corner of her eye. Obviously, during that footage, you can see her clearly talking to what she's seeing.
She's bending over and gesturing like she's talking to somebody. Well, wait a minute. Before we get that far, why would the elevator doors not frickin' close?
You've got me. That's the thing. Those elevators, there's two elevators in that hotel. We've tried both of them, cast, crew, all of us. We couldn't get the suckers to stay open long enough for us to all get in.
But you see them actually start to close, and then they open back up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like somebody put their hand out, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very crazy because I don't remember exactly how long. I think it was 3 minutes.
It was a long time.
They did not close. And she tried to get them to close. I mean, she tried to get them to close.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this.
A lot of people speculate that she was in there trying to hide from somebody, but then why was she not running? Why would she corner herself in an elevator? You know, nobody would do that.
Yeah, well, she was pressed up against the wall. Rick, I'll put that in Skype so that you can take a look at it, too.
Thank you.
But, yeah, she was pressed up against a wall like she was. First of all, she looked unbalanced. She looked like, when I watched it, I thought she's crazy.
Well, yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Has there was ever any history of mental illness, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, anything like that?
Yeah, that's the first thing that I looked for as well. People mm-hmm. say that if you look at her blogs, you can clearly see bipolar. I see no bipolar. I've dealt with a lot of bipolar people before. I've dealt with schizophrenic people before as well, doing what I do. I don't see any evidence of it in her blogs. I didn't find any evidence of bipolar, schizophrenia, anything like that, borderline personality disorder, nothing like that in any of her family history that I could pull.
Okay. I'm looking at it right now, by the way.
Yeah. And it's very strange because you can actually, if you really watch it, because I watched that sucker like 45 times straight trying to decipher it and go frame by frame finding things. You know how paranormal investigations go. And you
yeah. sure, of course.
Look at video, and that's what you do.
We so have tremendous patience, don't we?
And
yeah. No
not like sitting in a room for 5 hours waiting just for a ball to roll across the floor.
Or something.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that. But yeah, so I tried to dissect it as much as I could, and I just couldn't find anything other than the fact that she, if you watch her closely and you watch her mannerisms and you watch her body language, you can tell when she kind of goes in and out of being fully aware of what she's doing.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I'm looking at this thing right now, and let me see if I can get back to it. Now, I know that you've looked, there is some stuff that's going on here, and I may have to message you on Facebook, but there is a point where she looks as if she's about to walk out of the elevator, and it's almost as if there's like this this poof of smoke mm-hmm. that's behind her, and it's real quick.
I saw that too.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I know I mentioned on the blog there's about 30 of those throughout that 3-minute video.
Okay.
30 of those type of things that cannot be explained with pixelation, bad video quality, anything like that. They can't be explained, wow. So we're looking into them a little bit more. But okay. There are a bunch just exactly like what you're looking at.
But it looks like there's
not
some...
Not exactly like that, but there are a number of them. Just like that can't be explained away. What is that, you know? And I've kind of logged them, and we've logged them, and I've had my team look at them, and it's crazy. She was demonically oppressed. I wouldn't say necessarily possessed at that moment, but okay.
How does it happen that quickly?
Here's the thing. This is what I believe happened with her specifically. Okay. Kind of what I was shown by her, because it's kind of like downloading memories. I don't know if you read like that or not, but sometimes I see things through her eyes. Sometimes I see things through other people's eyes looking at her. You know, I can stand back from different views. But from her specifically, she checked into a room, and I'm going to have to find out which room it is because I have an investigation there next month. But she checked into a room that specifically had something happen in that room that mirrored almost identically something that happened to her earlier in life, and that left a weakness, it was like an opening. You know what I mean?
Sure.
A weakness for them to get in. She never fully healed from it. She was completely unprotected.
Okay.
And I believe, honestly, that's what happened. You know, I've heard all the theories. You know, you've seen the blog, you've seen the comments. People come through with Illuminati and this and that.
The
tuberculosis this and the tuberculosis that. And, you know, serial killer. And she was worried about somebody who looked like a star and everything else. I'm pretty sure it was demonic.
So I have to tell you, it looks like she's doing sign language at one point.
Yeah, did you see that?
I
had a friend of mine that was born deaf, and she does she signs. Look at that, and there are two words. I'm trying to think which ones they were. I would have to look back on my Facebook page where she told me. But there are two words that she clearly says.
Okay, so she was signing.
Yeah, she was. But okay. Here's the thing. I can't find any record that she knows sign language anywhere.
It's definitely a very eerie video, and if you're watching it, you can there is something there in that elevator with her. You can clearly see it. There looks like it looks like there's two figures that are standing up against the right hand wall, but they're kind of misty and
right
hand
back corner. I can actually see feet and legs.
Yeah, I can
amazing,
see
right?
two people there.
You saw that too.
Yes, I absolutely saw that.
It's amazing. If you look out at what she does when she finally steps out of the elevator and she looks down, she kind of leans down. Now, I don't know if I'm not sure if you can see it in the video or if I saw this through her eyes, but there were three beings in front of her, three entities in front of her.
Oh, when she's doing the talking?
Yeah.
Bent over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Now she's Canadian, but I can also tell that she is of Asian descent. Is she Korean by the last name Lam, or is that Thai?
No, I'm really not sure. I didn't really look into that side of things.
Okay. Well, what I'm just thinking is that there could be a cultural connection there. You know, maybe she comes from a family of, some kind of magical practitioner or shamanism or whatever, and these aren't necessarily demonic spirits, but something that is attached to her and her family. That would definitely be something I would look into.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. I haven't, I didn't even think of that. And
sure.
Certainly I'm going to be there next month and trying to get a little bit more information on her and where she stayed, and get a kind of a really good feeling of that. Her family has contacted me, and I have a lot of people coming onto the blog, specifically from Asia. So it's very strange.
Yeah,
they've left posts that I don't understand, and Google does not translate properly.
So one of my friends just texted me, and she says, 5 levels of demonic possession, being able to speak a language that you've never been able to speak before is one of them. That would be sign language.
Yes. Yes, yeah. It would. And that's the thing. Is in the elevator footage itself, it's clearly oppression. It's not possession as of yet. But people ask me all the time, how did she get into that water tower?
Yeah.
Well, I know something else was there, and I'm going to tell people, I honestly believe it was murder, but it was murder by suicide. It was coerced.
So she...
From internally. You know what I mean?
So she killed herself, but there was something that internally that led her to do that.
How did
she get in the frickin' water tower when she couldn't even... I mean, when there was no access to the roof, did she crawl up through the pipes or something?
Well, that's the thing. Somebody would have had to have let her, or she would have had to, she could have probably, let's be honest here, they're not very secure. She could have probably yanked the keys from somebody.
Okay.
That hotel's not very secure, in general. There's an alarm on that door. I don't know if that alarm sounds. Nobody's allowed up there without management. So it just depends. They're saying there had to have been a ladder, and no ladder was present for her to get in there. But, you've seen possessed people do crazier things.
Well, so you're going to be going back into this place, and you obviously have a connection to this story because you read it rather unintentionally, didn't you?
Completely, yeah. Actually, a friend of mine sent me an article. It was like Yahoo News. The day after it happened or something, I said, hey, do you recognize this place? It was the front of the hotel. And that was pretty much, and then I saw her picture and I saw the footage. I didn't even read the article. Clicked on the footage and there we go, So, it's crazy.
Okay.
So you're in contact with her family, and are you also trying to share any information with the police? Because this is unsolved. They don't even have, I don't even think they have, the postmortems back from the autopsy yet.
As I understand it, they do. They didn't find anything in her blood. The tox screens came back clean, and that was, a shock to a lot of people because they were assuming it must have been, Ambien and alcohol or who knows. As far as everything else, it came back inconclusive how she died, which really wasn't a shocker. I saw her hit the water. And she saw herself hit the water. So obviously, she was alive when she hit the water. But I'm also,
so she probably drowned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's the thing: there wasn't, as if I'm understanding correctly, there wasn't water in her lungs, or it didn't appear like there had been water. She'd been in there so long, I don't even know how they could tell.
You said something about a paper in her throat.
Yeah, she stuffed. She had a piece of paper, and it could have been, bigger than I would say maybe like a 3x5 card or something like that. That you'd take, for speeches, that type of thing.
Sure.
She crumpled it up. It wasn't thick like that. She crumpled it up, and she kind of stuffed it in her mouth, and I think she, I don't know what would have made her do it, but kind of sucked it down. So it's like past her, it's in her windpipe. It's past her throat.
Okay.
Yeah, So one of the ways I get my information is physically, okay?
Okay.
And I can tell you right now that if you like below the hollow of my throat, just right below along the breastbone, it feels like there's something lodged there.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Karen, you know what? I'm telling you, you never cease to amaze me.
Yeah, you know, you're the first person that stood up and said that you can see what I'm seeing, or you can feel what I'm feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's right. It's right. I mean, seriously, yeah, there's this almost like a little air can get past, like a, you know, but not very much.
Not very much. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I think she probably choked on that. But wouldn't they have found that in her post-mortem? No, because I guess it could have just disintegrated by then.
Well, I don't think it's disintegrated either. I don't think, I mean, like, I don't know how intact her body would have been after that long. I mean, I'm going to be really honest. But I don't think, I've never heard of anyone really slicing open a windpipe and seeing what's in there. You know what I mean?
That's true.
In an autopsy, they'll look down the throat, they'll look in, they'll pull other organs and dissect and, you know, they'll totally post the body. But, sure. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone, you know, really slight looking at inside a windpipe.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, you know, you mentioned, am I going to the police with any of this information? Up until this point, the police have come to me with word of mouth for other cases.
Sure.
I don't know that I would be taken seriously if I went to the police. I mean,
right.
It's one of those things that at this level.
Well, it is Los Angeles, point in my career, so maybe.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's true. But I just, at this point in my career, I don't know if that would be, I don't know.
So I have a couple of questions from chat.
Okay.
That are of people who are interested in this story. So Laura wanted to know how they, whoever was possessing her, managed to stuff her in the water tower.
I'm not privy to that information. I don't know. I can't see that part.
Okay.
I would love to know how she got up and in, because she would have had to climb the side of it and lift the top up and get in. You know what I mean?
Sure.
She couldn't have like crawled through the pipes underneath. There's no way.
Okay.
There's four tanks right there and she would have had to go around and up and
she probably would have drowned. So, and then Belle wanted to know, is it possible to consider interdimensional travel where she traveled, thus finding herself in that water tower upon her return?
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I honestly don't feel like, I mean, I guess it's possible. I don't feel like that's the case.
Well, it's a really sad story, because she sounds like a young lady who had a lot going on in her life in a good way.
She really did. She was a sweetheart. I mean, if you really kind of look through her blogs and look through her words, she was, you know, a strong girl. She wasn't somebody who was sad all the time and depressed all the time and weak and meek and quiet and, you know, this girl loved chocolate, and she was going to do what she was going to do, and nobody was going to stop her, and she was strong, and she was strong-willed, and she was smart. She's gone, and it's just sad. Yeah.
It is. It is a sad story, and it certainly, you know, would make me think twice about going and staying in that hotel.
Yeah.
Good.
I would say, never go. However, no. I'm staying overnight.
So how are you planning on protecting yourself?
Well,
and
normally,
the people that you're with.
It's going to be interesting. I'm not really geared up totally 100% yet for it. Unterweger's room alone obviously got me, and I wasn't prepared for it. Normal investigations, you know, it's mind, body, spirit balancing for me, and just, you know, nurturing everything and getting as strong as you can be, and, you know, I think I mentioned on the blog, you know, the bubble effect and the energy bubble that you put yourself in and you keep everybody out and that type of thing. I think this is going to take a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure.
Yeah. So that's the Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. It's just such a sad story. And I'd really like to see the video of your investigation of the place. I mean, like I say, I saw just a couple of little clips of it.
2.5 minute clip
on
YouTube.
Podcast on demand.
Oh, you know, and here's the thing is we won't be, I don't know if anybody's really announced it, but there's not going to be a season two. So I'm not sure exactly how they're going to put those out there, if they're planning on videos or anything like that. I can certainly see if, you know, anybody has them recorded and see
it'll
what
probably Netflix
about
at some,
there.
It'll probably Netflix at some point, I would imagine.
Right.
So... but yeah, interesting place. And that's not the, so the places that you've gone, you call them super haunts.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that expression before.
Oh, it just means they're really, really big.
Okay.
They're really big and really hard to investigate and have a lot of negative energy, you know, housed there. But for the most part, most of these places are well known and have been over investigated. We all know what happens when a place gets over investigated.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, there's one of the big things that I wanted to talk about, you know, concerning the show is ripples.
Well, we have, tell you what, why don't we actually, we have about 5 minutes till break. Why don't we take our break early so that we don't have to cut into the middle of that? Sound good, guys? All right. So let's do this. We're going to go to break and we'll come back with... more with Chelsea talking about some of the super haunts that her team has visited and one of the techniques that they use, which are called ripples. So stick around. It's Paranormal Underground Radio on the Hazy Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at Paranormal UG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Hi, this is Cheryl Knight, editor for Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Chad Wilson, Paranormal Underground Magazine's publisher. Every month, Paranormal Underground Magazine explores the unexplained by examining topics that range from haunted sites to ufology to cryptozoology. We also spotlight investigators and researchers who continue to pave the way in a field that seeks to answer some of life's most complex questions.
If you want to read about topics like psychic phenomena, demonology, conspiracy theories, crystals and herbology, and much, much more, visit ParanormalUnderground.net and start exploring the unexplained today. Visit us today at ParanormalUnderground.net and get a 12-month digital subscription for 15% off the cover price.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. This is Geddy Lee for RAD. To many of us, drunk driving is something that other people do. Certainly not one of our friends or relatives would do such a thing. When you see someone who's had too much to drink, about to get into a car, urge them to give up the keys and find alternate transportation. Always choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, you should too.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Hazy, and you're listening to the Hazy Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on the Hazy Radio Network. We're having a really fascinating conversation with psychic medium Chelsea Damali, and we were talking about the Cecil Hotel. And I know Rick had to step away from his microphone for just a moment, so I don't want to step on his toes and ask his question. But we did have a question in chat while we were on break. And Laura wants to know what happens to a location when it's over-investigated.
Well, you know, I mean, if you look at it from the spirits or the entities side of things, you know, if it depends on how it's really marketed. But for the most part, I truly feel like they get bored with it and they move past it. They won't. They're just not going to entertain your questions. They're not going to entertain your requests. They're not going to, you know.
It's like when your house is over-visited. You know, you're right. We have a haunted location that I've investigated probably 3 or 4 times. And a couple of times I've investigated it after, like, an open house. There, it's a big mansion in Port Gamble. It's called the Walker Ames Mansion and in Washington State. And when they have, like, we had one of them was that after a kid's ghost camp where there were a bunch of kids all through the house all day investigating. And another one was after, like, public tours were coming through all day, and the place shuts down.
It really does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it.
Yeah,
they just, you know, like you said, it's just like having a dinner party at your house. You're just done. after so long, it's just you're done. And they don't really necessarily, I don't think they like to be treated like circus sideshows.
No, you know? No.
Party tricks for everyone just doesn't fly after a certain amount of time, especially when, you know, they're needing information, they're wanting information, and they know that they can communicate with you, but they can't communicate what they need to because they're busy doing party tricks.
Well, you know? And, you know, that's what's so funny that you call it that, because I actually have a friend who got an EVP at a really haunted location here in Washington State where they asked for a knock, and it knocked once, and they said, could you do that one more time? And the EVP said, no more party tricks.
Good, good.
Yep.
See? Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So, Rick, are you back yet? I guess not. So we'll just keep going. So some of the super haunts that you have been to, you were at the Lizzie Borden house.
Yes, I love it there.
So did Lizzie Borden take an axe and give her family 40 whacks?
Yes, she did. Definitely had her motives, though. I mean, she was pregnant. She'd been molested by her father for many, many, many years, and, you know, she just had enough. It was a rage killing, yeah.
So, really, that's interesting. Hey, Rick, do I hear you coming back?
I am really sorry about that. All of a sudden, I got really sick to my stomach.
Oh. That'll happen when we talk about the Cecil.
You okay now? Oh,
fantastic. Thank you for warning us about that. Yeah,
sorry.
I just...
I'm sorry.
I'm joking, but no, I went upstairs to do, you know.
Yeah, drop the kids off at the pool, right?
No, it wasn't even that. It was the other one, but it was like all of a sudden I just got really sick to my stomach. But okay, I am back.
Are
I'm
you
good
all
to go.
Right?
I think
okay,
so.
I was filling time. I was filling time so that you could ask your question when you got back. So we have established that Lizzie Borden guilty.
Yeah, I believe. I personally believe that. I believe that she did kill, yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, you go with your question.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the ripple thing. Now, it really does – I've never heard the expression before, but I know that each, you know, researcher and investigator, they have their own theories and all that. But from what I saw with the ripple is – and I thought it was very interesting because it seems like a way to provoke without necessarily being a jerk about it.
Yeah, non-disrespectful.
Right.
To be respectfully provoking by, you know, dressing in the same attire, having it, you know, reenacting the scene that happened in that location, and then changing the end is kind of their little trademark on the ripple. Specifically, changing the end. That's a very big thing because that's usually what instigates EVP saying, no, that's not what happened, you know, and, you know, entities getting really, really, I don't know, upset about it sometimes in a lot of ways. I personally stay clear of the ripples because I'm already open to the other side. It's dangerous for mediums, psychics, psychic mediums, anybody who's open to the other side. It's going to be a little bit more dangerous because what they're wanting is right in front of them. And since we're open, that leaves us in a very pretty, bad spot to be in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've actually heard that before. There's a psychic medium that I've worked with for years, and her name's Nancy LaPorta, and I've worked with her quite a bit. And she will absolutely not go into an investigation whatsoever without doing her own personal cleansing ritual. And I can't really tell you what kind of witchcraft she belongs to. It's very intricate, and I've never seen anything quite like it before, and I feel very privileged to have seen it. But I would think that going into these places, you're already open, that you would have to do some kind of ritual to get yourself busy. Now, I know that you do your own thing, but do you do it with your cast members, with Daniel Jordan and Helmy, as well as the captain? How do you protect all of you?
I'm lucky in the sense, specifically with Daniel and Jordan, that they are skeptical enough that they pretty much are protected. I mean, I know I've talked about this on the blog a little bit too.
Sure.
They're protected in the sense that anything that goes thump near them, they run anyway. But they're very very skeptical as it is. Helmy altogether is purely scientific. It's got to, there has to be proof, which is very strange because he put me together with them. He's the bridge from the psychic to the scientific.
Sure.
It's very strange. But yeah, he had never met a psychic that he 100% had believed or seen at work that was legitimate until me. So I think that's why he kind of included me in it. But as far as protection for the group, honestly, they're a great group of people, but they do kind of turn their nose up at it type of thing. I'm definitely on the other end of the spectrum.
See, I gotta admit, as a lifelong researcher and investigator, I see that kind of attitude, and it really makes me sad because I don't think that people really necessarily that are into this today have done the research to find out that being psychic and psychic abilities really is a lot more scientific than running into a building with an EMF detector and yelling at something that may or may not even be there.
Exactly. Yeah, because psychics are actually on that same frequency, that same frequency that makes, this is my favorite analogy, makes 100 birds in the air turn on a dime. They all turn at the same time.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
They're all on that same frequency. So as psychics, we're able to ask for information, we're able to obtain that information. It may appear to others like it's from nowhere, but we're asking and we're receiving,
Sure.
Right.
So, yeah, it's definitely scientific. It's definitely we could prove it. It's just a matter of looking in the right direction, and I don't think anybody's fully done that.
Sure.
Not recently, no.
So, Chuck had a question in chat, and he wanted to know what you thought about shadow people. Do you think that they're negative entities, or are they solid forms, or what are they?
I just think that's a way that they've chosen to present. All entities present in a different way. I don't believe shadow figures are anything evil, specifically bad.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, definitely. It's just how they present, and a lot of spirits will present in different ages. They'll present in the age that they were the happiest during life, as opposed to the age that they were when they died.
Okay.
It just depends on how they choose to present.
So Laura in chat wants to know if you can pick up on people on request, or is it different? Does it just sort of come to you?
Like people like that have crossed over?
Yeah.
Are we talking? Okay. Yeah, I definitely can. I usually can specifically for clients that come to me because those people are already very aware that this client is going to be coming to me to try and speak to them. So it's fairly easy for me to connect with them through my client, if that makes sense. It's not like I'm going up there, you know, in my with my mind's eye and searching through thousands and thousands of spirits going, is Linda here?
I know.
Linda, everybody raise your hand if you name Linda. Is there a Linda that's attached to a Samantha? You know, come with me, please.
No, they're usually, they know when you're, it's sometimes I think that they know ahead of time that you're going to be reading somebody and they're ready.
They're very ready.
Sometimes they've arranged it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get the annoying ones that just don't leave you alone until they do what they want?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So how do you deal with that? Do you do what you want?
You do, too. I've kicked them out of my house before. That doesn't work because they hang out by my car. So it's like, you know, obviously it's not going to go away.
I have some annoying ones that have made me write two books, so it's okay.
So they wait for you out by your car. Do they beat you up for lunch money as well?
You know, at that point, if they're actually sitting on my bumper looking at me going, listen, you're going to listen to what I have to say.
Right.
And I need help. That type of thing. They certainly don't say it, you know, nicely like that. They're just kind of demanding and pissy. But I can say pissy, right? Yeah.
Sure. Okay,
absolutely.
that's our only rule.
Okay. But no, really, it's just, if they're that insistent, then, you know, I just do what I can, and what else can you do? You know? Like, you've thrown them out of your house. You aren't going to throw them off the property. Either way, they're still going to find ways to, they'll find ways to get back to you. So, because they know you can communicate, and that's the most important thing.
Yes. Well, I had a young man who's just a 16-year-old who's starting to face his own abilities, not my son, although because he's not willing to deal with his abilities at this time. But he asked me a question, and I actually didn't have an answer for him, and I've tried to sort of mentor him along, and I didn't have an answer for this because his teacher, his music teacher had committed suicide and then came to him, was talking to him, and wanted him to tell something to his son, and he said, how do I approach his family? And my response was, I think we all just find our own ways of doing it. I mean, sensitively, how do you approach approach somebody when you get such personal information like that?
When it's personal information like that, it tends to be that the family, what I found, is the most acceptable to them, that they can actually grasp it and don't freak out, is if, you know, you let them know that this person came to you in a dream for some strange reason. That seems to be an acceptable means of communication for most people.
Oh, you know? Boy, you're so smart. I'm going to use that from now on.
Yeah, it just seems to ease it, because that way it gives them permission to go, okay, that was BS, or, huh, that was relevant information. And they kind of take the focus off of, so you saw my dead brother, you know, are you crazy?
Yeah.
It takes the focus off of that.
Well, Elaine would like to know from chat how you throw them out.
I've done everything from yelling, screaming, like literally saging everything down, because they also feed off of EMF as well. And EMF, you know, sage kind of takes that away for a little bit. I sealed up my house with keep in mind, I'm not a religious person, and I'm not ritualistic in any way, shape, or form, and I have sealed my house with salt in the windows and
done that
down
too.
And everything.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I've hung garlic on my door, and I know that's really for vampires. I know.
Yeah.
It's okay.
My big one is not now.
So yeah.
Oh, well, go ahead, Rick.
I'm done.
I was just going to say I wanted to switch gears. I really wanted to go back to law enforcement. As an investigator, I've worked with, you know, people who are either former police or people who are still police. And now police officers, very much on a whole, are very skeptical people because they're highly trained observers. How is somebody like yourself generally, do you feel accepted into the law enforcement community, or have you run up against a lot of like, hey, you know, this chick's nuts, man, you know, don't have anything to do with her. What's the general attitude that you have to deal with in law enforcement?
Well, the general attitude, because I present, well, let's put it this way. It starts off like this. it's definitely a word of mouth situation.
Sure.
With officers I've worked with before that know this person, and they know I'm trusted just by, you know, other officers trusting me, other detectives trusting me, and that type of thing. That's the only way to really approach it, because if you go in like a psychic, you know, going, I have some evidence, but it's not really any evidence that you can use to prove your case, but I want you to listen to me anyway.
There's a body with hair floating in water.
There's water.
There are purple flowers.
Sorry, now you're starting to sound like Sylvia Brown, but all right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, don't compare either of us to Sylvia.
I would never do such a thing. Good God, no way.
I see clouds in the sky. Clouds. One is in the shape of a bunny. Sorry.
No, I hear you completely. And that's the thing is, you have to... It's okay, let's put it this way as well. I present a little bit differently to the force, if you will. I call them the force just for fun because I've got a corny sense of humor.
It's very Yoda-esque of you.
Yeah.
I was a law enforcement... Well, I was actually a criminal justice major for a little bit. So that was kind of my focus anyway, was to do kind of what I'm doing, only I was going to be on the opposite end of things. I try and be as analytical as I possibly can and try and give them the information they need to be able to find the evidence that they need to make their case. So I'm working for them to find what they need to make their case. I'm not just throwing out stuff going... I think his name is Bill, and he's got red hair, and he was here at this gas station. I need to go to the gas station, and, you know, I'm not
getting a D. He had an E in his name. Yeah.
And it just seems so corny.
Yeah, I smell vanilla. Does anybody else? Oh, I want a vanilla frappe. Yeah, no. It's crazy. Yeah, some
hey, now, don't knock vanilla, man.
I like vanilla, too, but it's never come up in a reading on murder. You know?
Oh, well, I can't imagine. Vanilla's a happy scent.
Yes, it is. Relaxing.
Yes. So anyway, so you are analytical. So I'm a cop working on a murder.
Okay.
What type of information are you going to give me that I find useful?
Okay. First, I will go through, I try and do these readings blindly as well, but I try and connect with the killer instead of the victim. And try and look through the killer's eyes, because it's 10 times easier to solve something if you're thinking like a criminal. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So if I connect through him or her, we'll say him in this case, I will watch it happen. I will watch what he does, and I will see what he leaves behind. And then I will present that to whomever is handling the case and say, this is what I saw, and give them the details of everything that went down. And, you know, they can, like, poker face me and just mark down in their little checklist in their mind exactly how much of it they know for a fact is correct, but they'll never tell me, you know, because that's how they work. And then at that point, I will say, now these are the things that were left behind, and these were the mistakes that he made. And I will give them a checklist.
That's good.
Okay.
I will give them a checklist of what they are to look for that will help prove their case. And then I will tell them where to look for each one of these things. And I will work with them hand in hand to try and find all the evidence they need to prove it.
Oh.
So that's what I do.
Yeah, that is much more helpful than hair floating in water. Shaped like bunny.
Yeah.
Have you turned anybody into a believer? We've had Steve and Amy on the show from the Dead Files, and that guy's like, you know, when I was a cop, I didn't believe in this kind of thing, and now I'm a stone cold believer. I mean, nicest guy in the world, and I'm, you know, he's Italian, and I grew up in an Italian family, although I'm not Italian, I'm Irish American. But I grew up in an Italian family. I know they're very, very skeptical people. And I'm sure that an Italian cop would be the most skeptical of them all. But have you turned into a believer?
Yeah, actually. And they're the ones that come back for help. They're the ones that tell their friends to come to me for help and that type of thing. I don't think I've ever actually dealt with a cop that has, and I use the term cop loosely, because I've kind of dealt with a couple of FBI as well. Sure.
They're still cops.
Yeah.
It's still the fuzz,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I guess. Don't tell them that. Anyway.
Well, we have Ben Hansen on next week. We'll tell them that.
Yeah, no. Ben and I, we've talked about this. We've definitely talked. We've gone back and forth about this. Yeah, we're friends. He's from Utah, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm
going to have to call in or something when he's on.
He'll be on next week.
He's fun. No, I just adore him. I turned him into a believer as well. He's FBI. So, but yeah, no, there's. I don't think they would ever come back to me if they thought I was BS. You know.
True. Yep.
So obviously, there's enough of a validation just in what they do, whether they're going to tell me what the validation is or not. It's not up to me. But there's obviously enough that they come back.
So you also have private clients.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what type of work do you do with them?
Do you have private clients as well?
No.
Do you? Oh, you don't? Okay.
No. No, I just started fessing up to this stuff recently.
Barely?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really recently.
Okay.
Because it was in my book, so I figured I'd better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in my book that the ghosts made me write.
That's what I was like. I guess I better come out of the closet considering my show starts airing in about 2 weeks from now. Yeah, that was me. So I hear you. What was that? Well, sorry. One more time. What was the question? I'm completely scattered.
Does anybody remember what my question was? Oh, private clients. What do you do with private clients?
That's why, because I had a mental block on it. I do a whole lot of love readings because that's what psychics do for private clients, evidently. A lot.
A whole lot of what readings?
Love.
Am I going to marry?
Yeah, does he really?
Is he cheating on me?
The stalkers are fun. They're the ones who are like, you know, seriously, you need to lay off of him or you're going to end up in jail. And then they call back in 2.5 months. Guess where I was? In jail.
Jail, I'd guess.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not my thing.
Not my thing either, but, you know, you do what you got to do, right? I actually do health readings, too, so I kind of understand what you're talking about when you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you medical intuitive? My other formal education is veterinary medicine, so I've kind of gone through all the systems, and I kind of can put myself in there and see. So I do health readings.
You're medically intuitive.
Yes. Very much so.
Do you do, like, Reiki or healing or anything
then? No.
You just tell them what's wrong and then send them to the doctor.
I do. I'm like, you might want to check into this specific issue and please see a gastroenterologist immediately.
So what's the hardest thing you've ever had to tell somebody?
Oh, wow. You know, cancer's never fun.
Yeah.
To say, please get, and I never tell them outright what's going on, specifically when it's something that I'm seeing that's that terminal. I'll always tell them where they need to go to find the diagnosis because I'm certainly, you know, how do I explain that, you know?
Right.
I know you have cancer, and I know it's this kind of cancer, and I know it's, you know, attached to your spine, and you don't have very much longer. It's not going to go over from a psychic. They need to actually get professional.
Sure.
Somebody professional to really let them know what's going on. But, I mean, there's a number of things that are never really fun to say. You know, diabetes, they're getting extremely close to losing their foot or something. That's not fun. It's not fun.
Sure.
But I always try and balance mind-body-spirit connection in with that because so many of the physical ailments are caused by the emotional and the mental ailments.
Absolutely, they are. There's more of a connection than people understand, mm-hmm. I think. And I think there's more of a connection than people want to believe.
Agreed.
Let me ask you this, Chelsea. Have you ever had a woman come in and maybe she's there with her husband or boyfriend, significant other? I mean, it doesn't even have to be that. Have you ever had one come in and you're like, hey, you know what? You're pregnant. How many of those have you had? Because I'm sure that's great news.
But chicks just can do that, Rick. I mean, we don't need to be psychic. A woman could look at another woman and know.
You pretty much can, but you know what? I don't do that anymore because I scared the crap out of myself once. I'll just tell you. If her significant other has a vasectomy and you're not aware of that, you notice the pregnancy before you notice the vasectomy, it's not a good thing.
Oh,
never.
Yeah.
Never a good thing.
I'm just saying. You don't want that to go down in your office.
You certainly, it sounds like, because this is one of the reasons I am not drawn to doing readings, is because there's a certain, I'm a pretty blunt person.
Yes, she is.
I'm not really strong on the tact and diplomacy. I wish I were, but it seems like when you're reading people, you might have to be a little bit diplomatic.
Yeah, it's a struggle for people like us. You've been to my Facebook page. How diplomatic do you think I am by nature?
Well, I did notice that you had like some big post on your blog about haters that was...
Oh, yeah, I thought that was particularly interesting.
Yeah,
I thought that was good.
We've all wanted to say it. You just did. So.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, I'm known for that now. Everybody wants to say this, well, leave it to Chelsea. Just kind of hand it off to her just a little bit. She'll go into a tangent and say it. It's okay.
So are you Sagittarius? Is that why you have foot and mouth disease?
No.
Oh, I am. I'm Sagittarius, and that's exactly why I am the way I am.
So. Oh, no, I'm just a Libra. I'm a Libra with an anger management issue.
Then being a psychic is perfect for you.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know. Is the psychic thing perfect for me? I don't know. I've got a Scorpio moon, too, so.
You know, though, Chelsea, I did want to ask you this, though. Do these abilities run in your family as they appear to be with most people?
This much I can tell you. I'm actually adopted. I do know I was born with some Wiccan knowledge that I have no idea where it came from.
Okay.
And some memories that I have no idea where it came from. So that was probably there. But my two children, extremely, extremely clairvoyant and empathic. And Christmas is not fun for me because I can't keep them
surprised. I have to tell you, we have a little of that problem in my house. Nobody has surprised me in years. And I know that runs in families because when I was a kid, I would walk into the living room and my grandmother would be under the Christmas tree with her butt up in the air, touching boxes and saying what was in each box.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's fantastic.
I feel like granny. Awesome.
So I know that I got that. And my husband and son frequently complain that it is impossible to surprise me. So I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Christmas can be hard.
Yeah.
Birthdays, too. Birthdays are never, yeah.
I know. Well, maybe what you need to do is put up your bubble so your kids can't tell.
I know. I never thought of that. I don't know why.
I wonder, can you bubble against your kids? I've never tried.
I don't know, because my kids also have this ability to defuse things that I do. It's almost like a game of chess in my house.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Psychic chess.
Yeah, it's really weird.
How old are your kids?
Okay, this is going to sound weird. My son's 19 and my daughter's 6.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound weird. It just sounds like you spaced him out a little.
It sounds like, surprise!
You're not done.
Yeah, well, sometimes the universe has other ideas.
Agreed.
Yeah, mine's 16, and so how's your 19-year-old son do with the with his abilities? Is he comfortable with them?
He's comfortable with the abilities themselves. He struggles with the empath side of things. You know, I would like to say, I would love to be able to put a label on it and say it's social anxiety disorder, but it's not. And I watch when it happens and I see what he looks at and can feel what he's feeling from certain things. He struggles with it a lot. Like, he's going to be doing what we do, living out in the middle of the boonies. He's not coping well with it. And I don't think I did at that early of an age either, you know.
No.
It's something that you kind of learn over time. As far as his other abilities, they're very strange. They've come through backwards sometimes. He has a lot of precog dreams. I don't have precog dreams. If I do have a precog dream, I definitely pay attention, write it down, because it's 3 years out. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Wow, you're way in the future, precog.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
No. do you find that more and more children are being born with these abilities? I know people talk about quite a bit about indigo children. My wife and I were both indigo, and I've been told that our little guy is a crystal. And do you find that there's more and more people being born with these abilities?
I find that there are more and more people being aware of it and not stifling it in their children.
Yes.
I don't want to stifle it in my two-year-old. He comes running out of the room the other day, and he goes, "Daddy, a ghost, a ghost, a ghost." Now, I have three in my house, and he's never heard us use that word before. I mean, even me, he's never even heard me use it. But he comes running out of his playroom saying, "A ghost, a ghost, a ghost," and I've seen him talking to people in the house before. I can feel their presence. I know that they're there. But he's seeing it, and it's quite fascinating to watch. Here's the mind of this little two-year-old try and wrap around this kind of situation.
But yeah. Younger kids often haven't stifled it yet either.
Yeah, they haven't been told that this stuff that really does exist. You know, people tell them it's full of crap, and it's not. We know that these things exist.
Well,
you know what gets me the most
what?
Is the imaginary friend syndrome that they put on kids, because they're not imaginary.
Oh, no, I had lots of imaginary friends when I was a kid. So, yeah. So, do you think that everybody has abilities?
I think everybody is born with a certain amount of abilities. I mean, not everybody is going to be able to be a concert pianist, but everybody can be taught to play the piano. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right.
There's certain levels. I think we all have a little bit. That's part of how we were meant to communicate, and that's part of how we were meant to pull information, and society and religion and a number of other things have just yanked that away and made it unacceptable for, a very long time. So we're just barely getting that back.
Well,
sure.
Hopefully it continues, huh? Well, I also think that, I think that we have three ways that we process information. One of them is instinct, which is basically our lizard brains. Mm-hmm. One of them is, thinking, understanding, and that's primarily our egos that do that. Mm-hmm. And then one of them is intuition, and that's how we communicate with our higher selves.
Exactly. Yep.
So we all have it. Favorite haunted place you've been?
Favorite? I would say Lizzie Borden. However, at the same time, I don't know that I would go back. Definitely a favorite, because of how active it was there, and because this is going to sound strange. I call them ghosty kids, and there are some amazing ghosty kids up in that attic. I loved playing with, and they would move toys around and just play with you and respond to you on EVPs and respond to you anyway. But they scared my producer, my field producer, so horribly that she jumped and did a plie releve and then spun around and hit the ground and was screaming, and she will never go in that house again. But because they just started laughing right by her, and now she's a believer. But, they're just babies. They're just babies without bodies. It's sad.
Yeah.
It is. It's very sad. I don't like doing investigations when there's children's spirits involved. It seems that they're the most confused.
Yeah, they can be. Yeah. The kids specifically at Lizzie's, they've adapted and they are catered to. They're part of some sort of tour. It's actually sad. But they do have their toy box, and they do have their toys up in the attic, and they have their playroom, and they have certain things that visitors at the bed and breakfast can go and do that will, that make the kids happy and this and that and blah, blah, blah. They're part of the tour. It's sad, it is what it is.
Right. But now, see, my concern with that kind of thing is also with a place like the Villisca House. Don't you feel that you, as a medium, maybe you should try and help these little kids move on to their next life?
I believe that, yes, if it wasn't so dang over haunted and they had to constantly relive it, I think it would be possible.
Okay.
So you think then that places like this that have lots of people coming through, you think that all of these people coming to visit and experience paranormal activity is actually keeping them here?
Yes, I do.
That's a problem.
It is a problem. It's very much so a problem, and especially with places like Villisca, because there's that history behind it, and everybody wants to have the tar scared out of them. So they ask questions. You know, they ask these really... These poor kids aren't going to be able to process what they need to process to be able to cross over. They're not going to be able to turn and look at the light that they need to walk into, if you will, because it is there for them. They just can't see it.
But these are human souls, and we shouldn't be using them for our own thrills and chills.
Right.
Exactly. And they're asked questions all the time. Who killed you? Were you killed this way? You know, I mean...
I'm sorry, but that chaps my ass, and I'm sorry for using that terminology on the radio here. But it's like I think of my little boy, and it's I don't know if I would want somebody, you know, like a certain individual who's on a television show on Friday nights coming into my house yelling at my 2-year-old, "You're going to tell me who you are right now, God damn it!" You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just,
well, you wouldn't do it to somebody who's alive,
right? It's just so utterly ridiculous.
So wouldn't you go into my house like that and be like, "So, how old are you? Do you like chocolate?" I mean, these are things that I ask kids' spirits, because I don't want them to have to relive what they lived through to get to that point, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Huh.
It's sad to me.
It's part of the human condition.
So, I think we were off the air when you mentioned you have some projects coming up.
Too many projects. Bit off.
So is there anything you can talk about?
Well, you know, let's see. I have a series that I'll be hosting that shoots in LA, that is not, you know, it's not a paranormal series. It's actually a psychic show that I'll be hosting. I've become the spokesperson for a very large webcam portal site for psychics called Orenum, and I've become the spokesperson for them. They've asked me nicely, and I accepted nicely, and I'm happy about it. So I'll be doing all their advertisements and appearances as well. So you'll see me through them, and their show is through them as well. I have a national tour later in the fall, which is 26 cities in 90 days. Across the United States, and I'll be doing gallery readings and that type of thing. I'll be posting the cities, dates, and venues on my page and probably my blog and any place else I can soon. What else? I've got a book coming out called The Killer's Den, and that's about the Cecil, and that's tentatively scheduled to be released late fall. What else?
You can come back and talk serial killers when that comes out.
Yes, and I'd love to. I know that sounds really morbid, but I love it.
Yeah, no, serial killers. No. So my senior research paper was on Charles Manson.
So you sense what I'm sensing.
So I get it.
You get it. Yeah, it's
it seems like we might have a lot in common.
Yeah, you and I. Yeah, no, we do. That's pretty obvious. So, but yeah, no, I have the, let's see. I have the Vegas Paracon as well in August.
Oh,
cool. Okay, very cool.
And a bunch of other stuff I can't even think of right now.
So let's give out websites so that people can find you.
Okay, you can find me on my blog, and I don't know if you put that in the chat room, but it's chelseademali.wordpress.com. And
that's spelled D-A-M-A-L-I.
D-A-M-A-L-I, is that what you said? Yeah.
I was looking at the web address, making sure, so, yeah.
Cool. And then you can follow me on Twitter at cdamali, C-D-A-M-A-L-I, and Facebook, and my email is chelseademali@gmail.com. Feel free to email me with any questions that you have, or if you want to schedule a reading or something of the sort.
Okay, so I was going to ask, so you still do the private client readings as well, and people can get a hold of you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And do you do, I call them dead grandma readings. You know what I mean.
Mediumship readings?
Yes, do you do dead grandma readings?
I'm sorry. That's cute. Yeah, I do. I will tell people up front if I can't, if they're still in the process of crossing over and I can't get a hold of them and I can't, you know, I mean, sometimes it's just too soon.
Yeah.
You usually can't get a hold of them or find them if they're in the middle of crossing over for probably sometimes up to 3 months, sometimes even longer.
Sure.
So
sure.
I'll tell people up front, and I certainly am not going to take your money if I can't. I mean, I'm not going to BS you. It's just not
okay.
Right.
Right.
So. All right. So okay. There you have it, everybody. That's Chelsea DeMolly. Check out her blog and, you know, look her up on Twitter, Facebook, all of that. And if you get an opportunity, I was mentioning that there appear to be no on-demand shows. But I think if you go to the bio channel webpage, well, I don't think because I did this today. If you go to the bio channel webpage, you can, and look up Haunted Encounters Face to Face, you can find clips from the show as well.
Are they like the 3 minute clips?
Yeah, the 3 minute clips.
Little short snippets.
Yeah, it gives you a flavor. So, you know, like I know Cheryl doesn't get the bio channel on her cable package, and like I say, I looked on demand and nothing, and you know, I think I found a place where I could like illegally download them, but I'm afraid of that. So
No, you'll do it.
I don't do illegal downloads because I won't let my kids do it. So
right, no, I'm just joking with you.
I set an example for my children. Rich.
Well, burn. You know, he's 2 years old, so you know I got time to set a good example.
Anyway, so Chelsea, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope
when your book comes
out, or when you've got another cool project coming up, you'll come back on. Or if you just feel like coming on the radio and, you know, talking some paranormal and psychic stuff, we're down with that too.
Cool. Thank you. No, it's been really fun. And like I mentioned before, this was my last radio show of the run. So I saved the best for last. Yay.
Oh, yay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm sorry the show's not going to be renewed next year, but I'll tell you what, it sounds like you got all sorts of other stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, I do. So
very
thank
good.
You, and it was fantastic. Great meeting you and talking with you, and yeah.
Have a good evening.
Okay.
You too.
Good
Bye.
Night.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Okay, so Hi. There she goes, Chelsea DeMolly. It's Chelsea, DAMALI. ChelseaDeMolly.wordpress.com. You can find a lot of the stuff that we talked about earlier in the hour if you weren't in the chat room or if you're listening to this on podcast about Elisa Lam. You can find links on her blog to the video that we were talking about and all of the information, the readings that Chelsea's done. She does remote readings about places like the Cecil. So check that out, because some of her remote readings are really, really fascinating. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, I've found Chelsea to be utterly fascinating and totally unique and real.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. She was a fun guest.
Yeah.
So very good. All right. So I know we have stuff coming up that we have to talk about, which is why I let her go with 15 minutes to go. So, you know what time it is? It's time for Cheryl to talk on the radio again.
Yay, Cheryl.
Wow, yeah, you're right. That was a great conversation. I hope Chelsea will come back again in the future, because I want to listen to more.
This Cecil Hotel thing, I'm actually feeling very pulled to it. So... I don't know.
It's baffling. Yeah. It really is. You want to know more about this, and you know, in that particular case that you guys were talking about, what the heck happened?
So well, I do have to tell you though that one of the things, because I tried to do a little research afterwards to see what was up with the case, and one of the things is that the patrons of the hotel, her body was in this water tower for like 2 weeks. The patrons of the hotel at the time are now suing the hotel for having tainted water.
Oh.
Well.
Because it was in the water tank that serviced the hotel's drinking water, showering water, and toothbrushing water.
Well,
gross.
That's not pleasant.
Huh?
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't that horrifying?
Yeah.
It is horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the idea of that. But you know what? I mean, just watching the video, you can clearly see that there is something going on in that video, and it's not just like weird pixelation. There is there is a presence or presence in there and around her. You can clearly see it.
Yeah, it's definitely fascinating. So go to Chelsea's WordPress, mm-hmm. and like I say, scroll down a little bit, and it's on there, and you can, and she links to the video, and she links to a longer video where it shows mm-hmm. that this whole 3-minute time that this is going on, those doors remain open, and she steps off, and 30 seconds later, the doors close.
Yeah,
and she was very clearly trying to get them to close the mm-hmm. entire time. And at one point, you can actually see them start to close, and then they go right back open, as if somebody was shoving it open. So anyway, so fascinating. So Cheryl.
Hey, okay. Yes, sorry. I was getting sidetracked there. Can you tell the listeners again which hotel that was? We had a question again in the chat room.
Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles.
How do you spell that? Okay.
Is it
think it's C-E-C-I-L.
Okay.
Let me look. Hang on. Hold on. It's on the episode that they did. It was called The Ghosts of Skid Row.
Okay.
It's not exactly... I get the sense that it's not a super fine hotel, because no. I think the rates are like $40 a night in Los Angeles or something. So, yeah, it's the Cecil Hotel, C-E-C-I-L Hotel. And the gal's name that was murdered, or that's dead mm-hmm. and found in the water tower, her name is Elisa, E-L-I-S-A, Lam, L-A-M.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
Thanks for that. I do want to promo a couple of things. Also, thanks to Chelsea. Thanks to you guys for asking such great questions. As you know, you generated a lot of questions in the chat room tonight, so that was great. I wanted to promo our contest because we forgot to do that at the break. We needed to give out a keyword. The Harvey Boat. That's our key phrase. Go ahead and email that to editor@paranormalunderground.net, along with a couple other things, your name, where you live, and then you'll also need to give us something from our latest issue, the March 2013 issue, and that is the name of the doctor who's talked about in the Are We Alone article written by Chad Wilson, and you can get that magazine on paranormalunderground.net. You can go to our blog. The top blog right now talks about the contest. The contest ends. Let's see. It's coming up. I want to say it's the 31st of March. And yes, it is. It ends then. So get in your entries by then. There's a grand prize worth $100. And it includes a lot of cool things. Dream pillows. Rest in peace cemetery stone statue. Gift certificates to... Rob Marie's services. She's a good friend of the show and the magazine, and she's a psychic medium, and she also does readings and ministry services.
And
so there's a bunch other prizes, but you can check that out on the website. And join the contest. It'll be fun. Next month we'll be doing a different contest, which I'll announce on the first show in April.
So next month we'll have a new phrase that pays. That's what we're
right.
going to start calling.
Oh my God, wait, we're not.
Phrase that pays. Just like Karen, you're the hostess with the mostess.
That's right, because we love corny rhymes here.
Kiss FM. Didn't they do phrase that pays? Kiss FM.
Somebody does.
All right, I
don't
know, that's old
school. Everybody does phrase that pays. I don't think anybody could like trademark that, because I think
everybody uses it.
Many radio shows over the years.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, and I also wanted to let everybody know that next week we will be joined by Ben Hansen. You told our listeners that earlier this show, Karen. And he will be with us for the first hour of the show. And so we'll look forward to talking.
And then Rick and I are just going to yap at each other, right? For the second.
Yeah.
Hour.
Well, Karen, you're going to give us a little a book reading, aren't you, Karen?
I don't know. Did we ever decide?
I hope so.
We could do this. Well, we could do this. And I kept saying, I honestly don't care. Whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
I want you to give us a book reading. And then Rick's going to just tell us a little bit about his upcoming book, which is hopefully going to be released in the next month or two.
Sweet.
Fantastic.
So we're going to have a little paranormal talk between us next week at the second hour. And then the week after, April 4th, will be Steve Parsons. And he's from...
Steve Parsons Project.
Is it Parascience, Rick?
Yeah, he's the co-founder of Parascience. He's a parapsychologist as well as being a member of the Spontaneous Cases...
I love parapsychologists.
Is he from the UK?
The Society for Psychical Research.
In the UK, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So he knows, or so he's going to be on with us late then. He knows all that, right?
Yeah, he does. He said, well, like he said, he told me that ghost hunters do it better in the dark. So,
oh, see?
You know, so yeah, so it's like he's used
already.
To it. Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's a lot of fun.
That's funny.
All right. And we have the date for, like, you know, my most, I'm so excited already.
Raymond Moody.
Yeah.
Yeah, he confirmed we'll be talking with him on May 16th.
Great. Oh, my God. So. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to be awesome. Able to speak.
Oh, my God. It sounds like the way when
for the first time, Karen's going to be speechless, aren't you, Karen?
Dr. Moody. Hi. That's all I'm going to do.
Hi.
Hi.
That's fan awesome. Boy.
And Dr. Moody, I had a question. I like your glasses. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, and magazine. We're bearing down on April.
April's
here.
Issues.
What's yeah. in April?
Oh my gosh, we have so many cool topics. I should have had my lineup open, but we have all of the same departments as last month. And if I can get it open fast enough, I can tell you. But, I mean, we have haunted sites covered. We have ufology covered, cryptozoology. We have haunted history, investigator spotlights.
Top 10 uses for the word dude.
Thank you. There you go. Karen did something, a really funny listing, which she just told you, but it's hysterical. Well, I thought it was hysterical.
Top 10 uses for the word dude that I learned on paranormal television.
Well, it certainly gets used an awful lot.
I think the column was my most pithy column ever, wasn't it, Cheryl? It's probably like 30 words.
It was. You were busy because you didn't write that much this time.
It was brief.
But it works. But also, don't forget, we have... Demonology, The Dark Files, written by Jerry Williams. And we also have contributions sometimes by Chris Conlon for that column as well. Inside the Psychic Mind, we have our good friend William Becker writing for it, as well as Jackie Chin. And so I really recommend people check that out, especially if they themselves want to explore their psychic side. So, yeah. And then, of course...
Sounds like a full issue.
Silver Moon Medicine is one of our writers. She writes two columns, Crystals and Herbology, and then Magic and Lore. I love those two columns. They're so cool.
I must not have been that busy, though, Cheryl, because I then did submit a 3,000-word article to make up for the 30-word article.
You did, yeah. Earlier. You did do that. It was an editorial. People need to tune in for that, too, by the way.
3,000 words, 30 words. It's the dichotomy. And, yeah, I absolutely agree. I love Silver Moon Medicine stuff, too. She is fantastic. Her knowledge is amazing. And, I get to talk to her. So.
And do you know she's going to be a guest on the radio show on May 2nd?
Yes.
And the topic will be real-life vampires.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait to talk about vampires. I don't think we've ever really talked about vampires on the show, right?
I have talked to her about them.
Not in any length, I don't think.
So here's the thing, is that I'll have like a little conversation with her about the vampires. And I'll be sitting there and I'll think of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll have to, I'll go to somebody and say, well, I wonder about this. Well, just ask her. Next time I see her, I have like my list of questions for her. When you said this, does it mean this? So to actually have her here, get other people to ask her questions, that'll be fun.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, Karen, did you ever ask her if vampires glitter?
They do not.
Oh, thank God. Okay, then I can have a real conversation with her then.
Oh, no. She's I the first time I started talking to her about real life vampires, I thought, oh, come on. And by partway through the conversation, she had me. So, yeah.
No, I mean, I have heard quite a bit that there are, people out there that do consider themselves sanguine as well as, psychic or,
Yeah.
I don't know what I believe. I really don't.
Well, here's what I know I believe that is that it's time to wrap up, and next week we're going to be here with... Thank you. Was that an awesome segue or what?
That was the best.
I know. Thank you. I'm so awesome. Anyway, so next week we'll be back with Ben Hansen from Sci-Fi's Factor Faked Paranormal Files. Looking forward to that because I missed the last one, and then he missed a flight, and, you know, I will be able to talk. I won't have to say, like, Ben Hansen, hi.
We'll see, Karen. Anyway. We'll see.
Yep. So thanks for listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Hazy Radio. We'll be back next week, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
If you'd be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor at paranormalunderground.net. Until next time, keep exploring the unexplained at paranormalunderground.net. Please join us next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Hazy Radio Network.